broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We got Truth Being Our Bitch here, and other talk shows wishing they could go the places we go to. We just have to lead the way. Now, we have our brand-new Best of Ted Bell download on our website in the shop for this 4th of July, so go check it out and download it, man. It is... The Best of Ted Bell. It's the very first best of a character that we've ever done, you know, in the history of our show. We have best of CDs that we've done, and those legacy CDs cover a variety of different characters that we've done. But this is the first that devoted entirely to one, and it's Ted Bell. So check that out. It's in the shop, and we've got 12, I think, tracks. One is a free track, but they're the best and craziest things that Ted has ever gotten himself involved in. I'll give an example. Well, as we go through the hour, maybe you'll do that.
Yeah, not right now, but you can do it later.
Okay. And what else? Oh, yeah, the episode number 13 of the Free Phil Hendry podcast is also available. So by all means, download the living hell out of that. And you can access our podcast by way of the banner on our homepage at philhendryshow.com. And you can also get our podcast a variety of different places. Stitcher, iTunes, Podcast Directory. It's all there, and it's all good. So, Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard with us here. That's just about the strangest night that...
Yeah, man, I don't even know what that guy Ron Tonner talking about.
Well, that's what I get for having somebody on the show and not really knowing why I've got him on the show. I've just, you know, I knew he was going to get married, and I wanted to congratulate him, but the world that he opened us up to was bizarre, man. I mean, that guy's talking about a woman that he doesn't want to marry, but she knows the secret of his sex change, you know, planned sex change operation. So that's the last time we have Ron on the show from a carnival with his fiance and his son.
All that pressure probably added to it.
I think so. Here's the thing that I was trying to talk to him about, and I don't know how this is kind of dork stuff. I don't understand it. I doubt if too many of you guys out there will understand it, not because you're not capable of understanding it, but it's not your thing, your field. Most of the people listening to me right now, I dare say, are probably not scientists or quantum physicists, because that's really what we're talking about here. But maybe you've heard news articles lately being mentioned about the God particle.
What's that?
I'm going to tell you. The CERN laboratory may have let slip its biggest breakthrough in a generation after appearing to announce the discovery of a new particle in an online video. It was first theorized in the 1960s by the Edinburgh-based physicist Peter Higgs, amongst others, and is credited for giving all other particles mass. That is the boson, or as they call it, the Higgs boson. Now we have... We got protons, neutrons. We have all kinds of atomic particles and molecules, and then the smaller elements and the smaller particles that make up atoms. But what is the smallest particle of matter in the entire universe? The absolute smallest particle. It is theorized and was by Dr. Higgs and others, that it is something called a boson, B-O-S-O-N. But, like many things in science, like many of the planets, for instance, that we theorized were out there, it's a theory. We didn't, for instance, a lot of the planets that we now know exist because we have photographic evidence, we didn't have any evidence of. It was theorized that these planets must exist. Why? Because scientists noticed certain gravitational forces at work. They noticed certain shifts in the orbit of other heavenly bodies that we did know existed. So they said, well, that cannot possibly be happening unless there is another heavenly body, another planet or planetoid out there that's making it happen. So it existed in theory. For instance, the planet Pluto, I think, was for a while theoretical.
They didn't know anything about Pluto? You're not talking about the dog.
Why did I know you were going to say that?
What are you, an idiot, man, to talk about a planet?
I know, but...
Why did I know that sooner or later, if I mentioned Pluto, you'd bring up the dog? So anyway, now we have the bosun. And this is something that they theoretically have never, they theoretically believe exists, but no one's ever seen it, photographed it, nothing. Okay. In the short film accidentally published by the lab yesterday, spokesman Joe Incadella is seen describing how physicists at the Large Hadron Collider had observed a new particle. It came as scientists gathered in Geneva ahead of the most heavily anticipated announcement yet on the hunt for the Higgs boson, which takes place today. So what, I guess we've got to find out what happened at this meeting.
Did they come out, they get a picture of it and everything?
Well, they said that scientists observed this in this Large Hadron Collider, which I believe is a type of instrument, if you will, that can speed matter up. In any event, among the audience will be Peter Higgs himself, the Edinburgh professor who first proposed the existence of this mysterious particle almost 50 years ago. Rumors have been rife that scientists hunting the Higgs will announce a new discovery, and the video appeared to confirm the finding of a particle matching its description. Mr. Incadella did not confirm the discovery of a Higgs. They're calling it a Higgs, but actually it's called a boson in the video, but was seen saying, "We've observed a new particle. We have quite strong evidence that there's something there." Nice going, Mr. Incadella.
What a dumbass he is.
You can't really say, well, I don't want to confirm it, after you've opened your big fat yap, but I guess he wants the excitement to be at the meeting which took place today.
Well, we find out what happened in the meeting.
We should look that up, but we're too lazy. Now, somebody, you guys out there, you can look it up. We're giving you the background here. That's what I, you know. This is something that may in the end be one of the biggest discoveries or observations of any new phenomenon that we've had in our field of the last 30 to 40 years. Well, you know, and it's just simply validating or verifying that something exists that they thought theoretically might, but weren't sure. This very small, small particle. And frankly, it is so small, and it is so, what's the word? It's so intermittent in its presence, theoretical or otherwise, that scientists have said it sort of is moving in and out of our reality. Now, that's not too crazy if you guys consider what's been going on in science here over the last several years as they study yet again the Big Bang and how the Big Bang took place. Now, I know you can believe in God. In my opinion, you can believe in God and believe this stuff.
Gee, that's the whole thing. I was talking to Robert. I'm talking to your aunt. She don't believe it.
Yeah, my aunt, she said it's a lot of cornball.
Cornball? Why don't you get Mavis on the line?
I don't know.
Now, my aunt, she said God made it. And that's all there is to it. You can talk about a Higgs boson and stuff like that.
Well, get her on the phone, man. Let's talk. You call her up, bud?
Yeah, what's the number?
I don't know what the number is. Ask him.
What's the number?
Let me go look for it.
So, anyway, the Higgs boson.
Did that in your other pocket?
Yeah.
Will you guys be quiet while I'm doing this, please? So, anyway, this Higgs boson.
Is that it?
Yeah, here it is. 213.
Would you be quiet? I'm on the air here.
Oh, sorry.
The Higgs boson is this small particle of matter. Now, there is also, there's all kinds of theory. For instance, I'll give you an example. There's a theory about black matter.
Black adder?
Black matter, not black adder. Black matter. Black matter is what scientists believe exists outside of the known physical universe. So if you go way, 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 way out beyond the furthest, farthest star, you encounter just a deep space full of black matter. Why do they believe it's matter? Because there's something gravitationally pulling our universe apart. The universe from the Big Bang has been expanding, but it's expanding at an ever-increasing rate of speed. Generally, an explosion slows down. But this Big Bang explosion that we have been existing through, quite literally, since the beginning of known time, is speeding up. What would cause it to speed up? They think it's because surrounding our universe is a large mass of matter with a gravitational pull, and they call it black matter, or dark matter, excuse me, not black matter, dark matter, because you can't see it.
Well, yeah, you can't see it. It ain't there.
Well, you can say it's not there, but then why is everything expanding at an increasing rate of speed, see? So let's take a break here and come back and just take everything that I've just said and throw it into a garbage can because I don't know what the hell it is I'm talking about. And we're going to have Robert's aunt Mavis on here in just a moment to talk a little bit more here about Higgs boson, the God particle, and extra-dimensional creatures, and black matter, and dark matter, and your mama too. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Yay. Truth is our bitch. The Whee! Phil Henry Show.
Whee!
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we've been talking here about all this scientific stuff, and we've got Mavis Leonard on the line, Robert's aunt. And Mavis, are you... Robert said you're doing laundry?
I can't hear you.
Speak up.
Mavis, it's Phil Henry.
Yes, sir, I hear you now. I couldn't hear you a minute ago.
You're doing laundry?
Yeah, I'm doing some of Robert laundry. He comes home, you know, he has a security job. He got two different uniforms, and I don't want to get into it, but I got to scrub them. I got to scrub it out.
What do you want to tell people about that?
But Robert, I don't want to talk to you. The man called me up. He wants to talk to me.
Yeah, I want to talk to your aunt briefly about something.
But I'm saying to you, Robert, when I have to do the laundry on your uniform, you know I've got to scrub and scrub away. And I don't want to...
You don't tell everybody about that.
Tell everybody about it because just again, they got me on the radio. And I'm up all hours of the night right now.
Well, what is your aunt doing up this late?
Just scrubbing out my pants.
Yeah, she's got to scrub out the bacon strips.
Got that right.
Oh, man. Why do you got to tell everybody that?
All right, let's forget about that, okay?
But this boy, I tell you what, his mother and me were sisters. I love my sister so dearly, so very dearly. But when that boy came into the world, you know how much he weighed he born?
You gonna tell everybody how much I weighed?
You know how much? They'll take a guess.
I don't know.
How much you weigh when you was born?
How much did I weigh? I don't know.
Take a wild guess on how much. I guarantee you that Robert come into the world, I don't want to say anything. I know it's a family program, but he tore my sister up.
Man, you don't talk about my mama that way.
Let me tell you what. That was my sister. I love her dearly.
Okay, I get the picture. Was he a big baby?
A big baby? I can't. To this day, I don't really know how much he weighed. All I know is, man, he ripped her.
Okay, this is not why I called you up to talk to you about that.
Well, all right, but,
Man, my auntie was about 25 pounds.
Yeah, I think you got that right. I think he's about 25 pounds.
25 pounds? God!
That's what I've been trying to tell you. Big, fat kid. That's what he was, a big, fat kid. And he's still a big, fat kid.
All right, well, I wanted to ask you a question about the God particle, because Robert said that you had an opinion about that.
Yeah, I was reading about it in the newspaper this morning.
What do you think about that?
Hold on, I'm gonna. Yeah, you know this washing machine make a lot of noise. I think that that to say that they are gonna discover God, and all He is a little tiny particle. I think they're very wrong. God is bigger than all of us put together.
And no, I understand that, dear. But
wait. Hold on now. Don't you ask me a question. I'm gonna give you an answer because this, I believe this with all of my heart. That God is bigger than everything. He is larger and bigger. And there's a beautiful song, you know, How Big Is God? You know that song, How Big Is God?
Uh-oh.
I asked Mr. Henry. I didn't think, I already know you don't know, because I asked you that last week.
The song, How Big Is God, is it a spiritual?
Yes, it is. How big is God? How big is God? You know, it goes like that. God is so big.
How big is God?
I'm going to tell you. God is so big that you can't even talk about it without it blowing your mind six different ways to sunset. And so for them to say that a thing called a God particle, I think it's very disrespectful to relegate God down to that.
Well, you know, they only call it the God particle because it's the best description of some little bit of matter that must exist at the very smallest the smallest piece of matter must exist. Don't you agree with that?
I don't know. You're talking. I don't believe any of that. I don't believe in. I just believe this: that God made all of this, and if He wants to wipe it out, He can wipe it on out. He can destroy. He can turn it all into a pile of, you know what? Doesn't matter to me. Whatever God want to do.
You don't care about a God turning it all into a pile of dung?
I don't care if God, if that's God's will. I learned to do God's will, and you. I tried to teach you that too after your mother died, after you ripped her apart. And she died.
Did she die in childbirth?
I believe she did die in childbirth, but Robert was 15 when she died.
Yeah, do you think she died from a childbirth?
Wait a minute. She died in childbirth, but Robert was 15?
I think she gave birth to that boy for 15 years. That's how big and fat and just a big fat kid. Wow. Woo! Big fat kid.
All right. I'm sorry to bother you.
I'm this is the time of night when I'm going to get a Henry Weinhardt and go down and look at Animal Planet.
Yeah, I'm going to find out on Animal Planet Puppy Bowl tonight.
You want a rerun on Puppy Bowl?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, thanks very much, Mavis.
Uh-huh.
So you got your aunt into watching Animal Planet.
Yeah, she finally gave in, I said, when I showed her the Puppy Bowl, you know.
Are they still running that stupid thing?
Yeah, they do the Puppy Bowl every time there's a Super Bowl.
But, I mean, are they running it now?
Yeah, occasionally they'll still a Puppy Bowl rerun.
All right, well, that was a big, ridiculous...
What are you doing talking to her about the God particle? How does she want to talk about God?
True. So, anyway, that is the... although I'm always interested in knowing what people with a very strong religious belief, what their feelings are about this stuff that seems to, you know, invade the world of religion and science, man. They can't seem to exist together. They can't seem to coexist. And yet, one cannot exist without the other, you know.
Whatever that means.
Exactly. All right. Let me get into something else here. I thought maybe we would be able to find out what the result of that is. All right, Katie Holmes. Will the divorce of Katie Holmes divorcing Tom Cruise, is that going to hurt him at the box office? Ha, ha, ha! What a stupid thought. Why would that hurt him at the box office? Will Tom Cruise's bitter split hurt him at the box office? Katie isn't making him look good. This, according to the, some people in the know. No, she's not making him look good. If you buy the tabloid reports, Katie Holmes is seeking sole custody of 6-year-old Suri. In other words, this is not the boilerplate amicable split you see in Hollywood these days. But if you think that Katie's alleged bombshell will erode the tens of millions Cruise tends to make at the box office, you're mistaken, son. Boy, is that the truth. How do I know this is even a controversial topic? Maybe this is something this clown just came up with, whoever this simple-minded clown is that's writing for TMZ. Oh, it's Harvey Levin? Never mind. Anyway, believe it or not, Tom Cruise was once known more as a comedy or a rom-com type, comedy or a romantic comedy type, thanks to flicks like Jerry Maguire. But he's much more of an action star these days, best known as that guy bouncing off of skyscrapers in the Mission Impossible flicks. I don't think anybody, I don't even know who this guy's married to from one person to that. Who was he married to the last time?
He's married to I think he's married to, I forget.
I know who it was. It was Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, that's it.
He was married to Nicole Kidman. He's married to Katie Holmes. I mean, he's married to some of the, I guess would be considered to be one of the most desirable or eligible bachelorettes or whatever the hell you want to call it. I mean, the most beautiful. I'm surprised he hasn't married Julia Roberts. Something like she married?
Who?
Julia Roberts. Ain't she married?
I don't know. I don't think she is. I think she's a lesbian.
Oh, get out of here.
What?
What are you talking about?
Well, she's not married. I ain't heard about her being married.
She's married, man. I just don't know who the hell she's married to. All right, we'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show in our News and Information Hour. And coming up in our News and Information Hour, more on Andy Griffith, God rest his soul. and some financial news from Wall Street and beyond, and the fallout coming from this guy Diamond, and pressures mounting over Barclays, and just a whole lot of crap that we will make very simple for you. Don't worry about it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Oh, and Chris Brown's album sucks.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, what do I got there, bud?
That's the New York Times.
Right. I've got these discs that, as you guys know, are my some of my most prized possessions. They were given to me as a gift by my good friend Brian Glicklick, who bought me the front pages of the New York Times on CD-ROM going back to 1851. Now, the reason why I busted this out is because tomorrow's the 4th of July. See? So I'm looking for the 4th of July, 1860. Why did I pick out 1860? Well, I had the disc 1851 to the end of the century, and I thought, well, that's the most interesting year because that's when the Civil War was only a year away. So I'm going to go to June.
That's when the 4th of July is?
No, it's in July. Why am I going to June? Sorry, bud. See, if I don't do it right, Bud's going to get flipped out.
Yeah, you're going to get all confused, man. I know what it was.
Really? All right, here's July. Let's go to July the 4th, July 2nd, 3rd, 4th, New York Times, July 4th, 1860. And what is the headline going to say here? It's going to say what? A new law of contacts for military and naval supplies. Our national anniversary. City celebrates. City celebration of the 4th, arrangements for the military and civic display. Fireworks, excursions, etc. Today, the 84th anniversary of our national independence will be celebrated throughout the country, but nowhere probably with more enthusiasm than in the metropolis.
That was what they called where Batman lived, right? Or not him, but Superman.
Well, they might have. That might have been where Superman lived, but this is that's New York, okay?
What's metropolis?
New York! Will you guys forget about Superman for 5 seconds, man? This is 1860. Superman wasn't around then.
Bound to be bitching if he was, though.
Yeah, I guess, whatever. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but think I would change the book and stuff.
Yeah. Ma and Pa, can
I wonder if they'd be Quakers.
Never mind about what the country had looked like as Superman came in the 1860s. By the way, why didn't he? Would have been a lot better. Anyway. The almost continuous noise of exploding fireworks during the past few days, the flaming handbills of the pyrotechnists, the multifarious excursions advertised, and the extensive transportation of fireworks by overloaded fond parents having an eye to young America have already given us a foretaste of the celebration that is to take place today. Look at that, man. Fireworks were really big back then already. And they're talking about parents bringing fireworks to their kids. Now, look at those words that they use that people, newspaper readers in those days, understood.
But use a word like that.
Multifarious?
Yeah.
Because, really, the only people that read newspapers back then were people that were interested in business. I told you, when the New York World was finally published, which was, it was being published at this time, but still the New York Times was the big paper in town. It was the first newspaper to just publish a bunch of exploitive, tabloidy things. Murder, suicide, incest, this, that. And you might say it was the first newspaper to appeal to the middle class or people who were just into sensational stuff. In other words, people that didn't know what the word multifarious meant.
Right.
So, but while those newspapers were being printed and being read, there were the traditional newspaper readers who had been reading what were traditional newspapers up to that point. They had a lot of shipping news. They had a lot of business news. They had a lot of political news. There was nothing flashy. It was all just the facts. Give me the facts. So people that read newspapers, those kinds of newspapers, tended to be maybe, you know, a little more educated. They certainly knew the big words and all that stuff, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, don't they have nothing in there about incest and stuff?
Not in the New York Times. Not the New York Times, from the day it was founded until today, has always prided itself on being a newspaper of record. That means that they are the official sort of organ. Don't laugh, bud. What a baby.
Every time, man. You can't let it go.
Dude, he said organ.
So what if I said organ? God, man, let it. It's like Robert said, let it go. So the New York Times is a paper of record. They're the official paper of record, and so they would always be very official and nothing that even hinted of scandal. Even today, if you read the New York Times, they refer to everyone as Mr. All their male, people that they're reporting on who are men, it's always Mr. Hendry or Mr. Dickman.
Did they have you guys in the paper?
No, man. I'm using it as an example.
When?
When what?
When he said Mr. Dickman.
They never did, man, as far as I know. In fact, I don't think they ever will at the rate you're going. So here you have, though, stories of the 4th of July in 1860. And our country was not too far away from a devastating civil war. Can you imagine that, a civil war, and you're celebrating the 4th of July, and you're probably wondering, God almighty, what are we going to do? What have we done to our country, you know? And this was also a presidential election season. So you can see over here, William Seward, who went on to become the Secretary of State. He was attacked the night that Lincoln was shot in his bed. He was recovering from a carriage accident where he'd been thrown and had fractured his skull, and he was already a very sick man, and busting into his home and running up the stairs past the servants and the house staff was Lewis Powell, who began slashing at him with a knife, almost killed the man, but somehow he survived. That was the William Seward that was campaigning here in this particular newspaper. And Lincoln recognized William Seward as a great politician, as a great man, and made him the Secretary of State. He was his rival in the campaign. Here's a story, letter from the Honorable James A. Hamilton on the doctrine of the Constitution concerning slavery.
Got to read that.
I'm not going to read it on the air right now, but that was the big question. And it bedeviled the country during those days, and they're even quoting here this guy, Justice Taney. He was the top judge in the court, and they had a thing called the Dred Scott case. You know about that, Robert?
Yeah, Dred Scott was a slave.
Yes, and Dred Scott, basically, as a slave, said the following thing. He said, I'm a slave, but I was taken by my owner, basically, into a free state. And once he traveled with me into that free state, I became a free man. And he sued.
What do you mean he sued?
Dred Scott sued. Dred Scott sued. He had, an attorney. Obviously, it became a case of such significance and interest that, lawyers handled this for him. But he basically sued, saying, "I deserve my freedom because once I am in a free state, I'm a free man." Now, this went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court ruled in the Dred Scott case that no, he was not. It was the right of property. And according to Justice Taney, the right of property in a slave is distinctly and expressly affirmed in the Constitution. That's what his interpretation of the Constitution was. Now, you can imagine, this is 1860. This is how people, this is something that today we would never think, but this is the way people thought then. Okay? And as I always say to you guys, if it wasn't for those people thinking that way, you and I would not be thinking in the more enlightened way that we do today. It isn't to say that aren't we so much better than those people. No, because we learn from them. We learn from them. They taught us. They taught all succeeding generations on the right and the wrong way to think about things. So there you go.
So that guy said a man's property no matter where he goes.
Yeah, that you are property. If you belong to a guy, then you belong to that guy no matter where he goes. Exactly. Well, what happened to Dred Scott? It had a happy ending, sort of. Dred Scott was returned to the state where his enslavement existed, but his freedom was purchased by a group of Northerners, and he was eventually freed.
He got until he became free.
Yes. But still, I mean, he had to have his freedom purchased, and the constitutional principle that we now live by, which is that no man owns any other man, it continued. And, of course, the country went into war. But, I mean, there was no way that I don't see if this guy Taney had said, no, he's a free man. We were on our way to a civil war anyway, so it didn't much matter what anybody said back then.
Yeah, but if he would have said that man's a free man, there might not have been no civil war.
No, bullcrap. That would have made it even worse.
Yeah, because they're going to... The Southern's going to make a war.
Oh. Yeah, oh. Oh is right. If anything, you would have thought that if Taney's saying that, it would have made the South say, okay, it's all cool, let's not go to war because, you know, the Supreme Court just upheld our slave rights. But they were too far gone, and they were too stupid, too. I mean, the Southerners, God bless them, you know, what I'm saying is, they had no way they were going to win that freaking war if you took a look at what they were up against in terms of the ability of the North to arm. I just saw a thing today, man, where it was almost like America going into World War II. What the hell was the South thinking? I mean, there was no way they were going to win that war with all of the industrial manufacturing capability up here. Up in here, you know. All right, world-famous Phil Henry Show online at philhenryshow.com, where you can get live streaming video of the show and thousands of hours of archived material and just everything that your little heart desires when it comes to the Phil Henry Show. And now added tonight in our shop is the best of Ted Bell, the very first best of compendium, album, assortment, whatever the hell you want to call it, of an individual guest ever in the history of our show. And it is there in our shop, the best of Ted Bell. Pick it up. And share it around and pass it around and put it on the Underground Railroad and give it to your runaway slave so he can take it north to Canada. Whatever the hell, it's there in the shop at philhenryshow.com. Also, check out our podcast, episode 14 of the Phil Henry Show, the free Phil Henry Show podcast coming up on Thursday. We'll be right back here. It is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Shut up. My name's Brett Stott. Shut up. My name's.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our final segment tomorrow, well, today is the 4th of July, so happy 4th of July.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the 4th, and it's been the 4th back east. It's the 4th here on the west. So it's the 4th, man. There's no getting around it. It ain't the 3rd, it ain't the 2nd, it's the 4th. 4th of July, and so we hope you have a happy 4th. What do you think is going to be going around at the El Pacifico, man?
Man, there's going to be a lot of fireworks out here, that's for sure.
We always get a great fireworks display here at the El Pacifico because it's just that kind of a neighborhood. And now here's a story that I you know, it may be a little bit of a warning. In the tinder dry U.S. West, you know, we've had fires out west in Colorado. We've had some in California, and as I remember, there wasn't a whole lot of rain. Fire sucks. Fire exists. Fire, man, we get fire out here. And, you know, if people get, you know, and like down south, they get hurricanes, and they pretty much get those nor'easters and hurricanes along the eastern seaboard, and they get that smothering heat. Out here, fires. In the tinder dry U.S. West, where campfires, fireworks, and even lit cigarettes are banned across public lands, another fire-starting culprit remains free of most restrictions. This, according to the AP, guns. I haven't made any judgment yet.
Man, they're trying to ban people from having guns.
Well, hold on. This year, officials believe target shooting or other firearms use have sparked at least 21 wildfires in Utah and nearly a dozen in Idaho. Shooting is also believed to have caused fires in Arizona, Nevada, and New Mexico. Officials have been asking the public to scale back shooting as legions of firefighters contend with one of the busiest, most destructive wildfire seasons to ever hit the West. But many in the region, avid proponents of the Second Amendment right to bear arms, so most state lawmakers are hesitant to enact any formal restrictions. Well, look, if you're a, I'm a gun owner and there are gun owners, and you say to me, using your gun, using your, you know, your long gun or your target shooting or whatever, man, out in the wild is going to cause fires, I'm going to scale it back. Don't be stupid if that's what the fire people are saying. What do you mean enact a law? I mean, there shouldn't have to be a law enacted. But unfortunately, guns, like everything else that's legal, there's some people, man, that are real dumb when it comes to the way they're using those. These guys...
I don't get what's going to cause a fire?
Well, I mean, they're, you know, look, you're talking about the use of gunpowder. You're talking about bullets traveling at a hypersonic rate that are hitting rocks that that cause sparks. You know?
Well, so that's going to cause a fire?
Yeah. Hot lead, man. Look, if you take a piece of metal that's hot enough and you throw it into some weeds, it's going to definitely trigger some kind of trigger some kind of an ignition. If the brush is dry enough, man, you heard what Jeff Dowder said. Didn't you hear that whole, the rabbit thing?
That guy's nuts talking about a rabbit.
Well, he was talking about rabbits throwing off those sparks, man. Get him on the phone, will you?
I don't know if he's awake.
Get him on the phone. If he's awake. He's awake. Don't worry about it. It was Dowder. In fact, we had him on the podcast not too long ago saying that it was rabbits running through the high weeds in the dry foothills that were causing a lot of the fires. Hey, Jeff, you there?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're on the air with us.
Oh, okay. I
I woke him up.
We woke you up, huh?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, can you give it to me again about the jackrabbits causing fires?
Well, I mean, I had talk about that. You know, I talked about that a couple of times, and people was making fun of me. But the fact is, they're jackrabbits that, you know, haul ass pretty fast. And they have fur, and if it's dry enough, the fur will touch off a weed because of the static electricity.
Okay, that's it. Static electricity.
What's that?
Who's that, Dickman?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you mean, what's that? It's like the time you had that balloon and it stuck to you?
Well, I mean, what are you talking about?
I'm talking about the time you had that balloon and it stuck to your head, remember?
Man, you ain't going to make no sense, these two guys.
Why don't you give us... Let us in on this.
Well, one time, all it was is Dickman was talking about, he was laughing about it. He had a balloon stuck to his face. And he goes, ha, 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 and all that. I go, yeah, it's because of static electricity. And he's like,
I said you're lying.
Well, okay, what's your explanation?
What is your explanation, bud?
The balloon was stuck to my face.
Yes, but why was the balloon stuck to your face?
I don't know.
Okay, so you don't have no explanation, man. I was giving you an explanation.
Yeah, well, you're saying electricity.
No, man, I'm saying static electricity. And that's what made the balloon stick to your face. And remember when you were walking around, it was stuck to your crotch, and you're all, look at the balloon on my crotch.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Yeah? Well, what do you think made it stick to it? Why, you think the balloon fell into your junk?
What?
All right, let's grow up, okay?
Well, I mean, he's so stupid, he doesn't... But that was static electricity. So if the rabbits have it on their fur and they're traveling at a very high rate of speed through the low brushlands,
Well, what do you mean low brushlands? Where are we talking about here?
We're talking about the foothills where most of these that's what I call them, jacked up rabbits, because they are. If you've ever seen them, they're all messed up.
You what? Call them messed up rabbits.
I'm not going to call them messed up. They're jacked rabbits, but... So anyway, and they go through the weeds at a very, incredible clip, and the static electricity will set off a spark, and many times that will trigger like a fire. And that's been the theory that they proposed at a meeting of, well, they didn't really have a meeting, but it sounded good. I mean, it was a theory proposed. Well, it was a meeting with me, Jim Rudolph, and Terry Neglin. Both those guys worked with the Forestry Service.
Well, what do you mean you had a meeting?
Well, I mean, we were spoken of a fatty, and they were telling me about it.
Okay, so we've gone from having a meeting of Forestry Service guys to you're just sitting around smoking a joint, and you're coming up with a rabbit with static electricity.
Well, I mean, I didn't come up with a rabbit with static electricity. I mean, Dickman knows. He had a balloon, attached to his thing. So
that's got nothing to do with anything, and it doesn't prove that rabbits are... Okay, listen, Jeff, I'm sorry I woke you up, okay?
Well, I mean, I was just trying...
Thank you very much, Bud. You better sit down and figure out, if you tell people they're wrong about stuff, like you often do, then you better have an alternative, you know?
What do you mean?
I mean, if you're going to tell a guy there's no such thing as static electricity, you don't know what the hell it is, then you tell me why it is you're walking around with a balloon stuck to your crotch. World famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by myself, Dan Northcraft, and Neil West. And, of course, the Phil Hendry Show is online as well at philhendryshow.com, where you can pick up a backstage pass and get yourself live streaming video of our show each and every night, as well as thousands of hours of archived material. And don't forget, the best of Ted Bell is now in our shop, baby, in time for the 4th of July. All right, we will catch you guys on Thursday night. Have a beautiful, beautiful 4th, man. Have a safe 4th, but by all means... Party hardy, and we will see you later. Let that be a lesson to you. Thanks.
Phil Hendry.